Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Continuing on here, we're going to talk to Steve Politino in just a few short moments. In the meantime, do another giveaway. You want to win tickets to NASCAR? Mike, tell them how you do it.
Vroom, vroom, folks. Get ready for the ultimate NASCAR weekend at the beautiful Homestead Miami Speedway. The Craftsman Truck Series playoffs and NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs doubleheader are races you're not going to want to miss. We have tickets for you to claim on Theoretically Speaking. So be listening to Theoretically Speaking. All you got to do, as I said, folks, is listen and follow along on social media at ESPN West Palm. They're going to be doing live ticket giveaways on Theoretically Speaking. Going to be looking forward to that. If you would like to purchase tickets, go to homesteadmiamispeedway.com. homesteadmiamispeedway.com. If you're not lucky enough to win him on the show with Theo, homesteadmiamispeedway.com. Once again, folks, the ultimate NASCAR weekend at the beautiful Homestead Miami Speedway. Craftsman Truck Series playoffs and NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs are the doubleheader races you're not going to want to miss.
That's NASCAR. Let's get to GKB President, Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer, Steve Politino joins us now. Steve, what's going on?
Gentlemen, what a great day to be talking sports. So many great things going on.
Yeah.
And, mostly, I have not talked to you guys. Both of you, no actual hurricane, but the tornadoes, damage. Your first time, I'm sure Colin and Mike, you seem to have opinions on everything. What was your take? What was your opinion on this little brush with Milton?
I'll start, Colin. I was pretty afraid, Uncle Steve. I can't lie. I saw the tornadoes come through the gardens area and the damage that it left. Was a little afraid of that. Need to learn, Port St. Lucie got hit as well. Uncle Steve, I was staying at my cousin's house in Boca for 2 days. My brother, who lives in St. Pete, came on over, stayed with my cousin in Boca as well. So we were kind of just hiding out and weathering the storm together. But Colin kind of had a different approach on it.
I thought it was a little, overhyped is probably the word. I thought it would be a bigger storm. I was under the impression we'd be getting dumped on for a number of days, and I guess we missed it. But it was the tornadoes that really came out of nowhere. But the hurricane itself, Category 5, the strongest storm Florida's ever seen in 100 years, that was not my interpretation. Luckily, I was fortunate enough to be away from the tornadoes. But, that's just was my read on it. Steve, what was yours?
Well, look, you never can take the things, lightly. And what happens is, I was actually out of town. So, everyone makes their assessment. All right, this doesn't look like it's going to hit us directly, so I think it's going to be okay. Where we are, obviously you feel for anybody that is experiencing it head on. One, because it's awful, and two, some of us have been around a long time to have them when they landed, much closer to us. But to me, the curveball were the tornadoes. You didn't see this. This has now added an extra complexity that is. Unfortunate now, because now next time you're like, okay, it looks like it's not going to be right near us. Feel for the people, but we should be okay. Now it's okay, it's not going to be near us. Oh, do you think maybe like 20 tornadoes might touch down? I mean, at 10 minutes from my house, we know teammates who have close friends who homes were completely ravaged. So now it's just added that, complexity. The interesting thing too is when you can always tell when the news shifts to like your area, because everything was about Tampa, just like the previous one, everything was about Big Bend. All this has been in the west coast of Florida, but clearly there was a lot of coverage about the tornadoes, because I started to hear from everybody in the last couple of days, as I'm sure you all did too.
And did you, so you were out of town and you were relatively unscathed in the realm of everything?
Yes, the hurricanes did not hit New York. So I was totally unscathed.
Where
it was.
Yeah, you're good. You're safe in New York. Yeah, funny, Steve.
My family was okay. Checked in. They were fortunate. Did not lose power. This time, no, didn't lose power. Everybody was okay. Got home last night. Saw the debris. Through the neighborhood. You still have all of that. You still have the things knocked over. Fortunately. Colin, I guess if you say that it was overhyped, I guess then generally that's a good thing. in terms of versus what might could have been.
I think that's the bright side. I agree. I think it's a good thing if the storm was, and I think it's objectively speaking that the storm was not as strong as it was projected. It was supposed to be a Category 5 the day before it went down and came back up again. So I think ultimately that's a good thing. Steve, I want to segue a little bit. Go ahead.
The problem is that to catch yourself on there is, though, like, it's not a good thing for the person whose house got totally destroyed. Maybe
it
didn't live up to the hype of destroying an entire city, town, but it did
it's
nail people.
Probably not the right term. It's probably not the right term. I agree. But the matter that it wasn't as strong, I think, is ultimately a good thing that it wasn't as strong as it could have been in terms of causing damage to communities. That's just
you guys needed your official welcome to Florida, let's hope it's over.
Talk about a welcome to Florida, Steve. In the mail, I actually picked up something from a unnamed car brand located here in Palm Beach, and it was a scratch off win $100,000 cash giveaway. So I scratched off one thing. It was a 6-digit number, and there's a $50,000 cash, a $3,000 cash, so on and so forth, all the way down to $150. And there was a number attached to it, a 6-digit code. And there was a pull open tab thing attached to it. This is like a newspaper, it feels like. But and I got a scratch off thing, and I matched the number there. I matched the number on the pull tab, and I matched the number to the $3,000 cash. Now, everybody in the office thinks this is a scam. Somebody said I already got scammed. I didn't do anything. I just scratched off the thing. Mike thinks this is phony. Yeah. And then I'm not going to get any cash here. I think I just got lucky and won the lottery.
Quickly, my two cents, Uncle Steve, is that everyone got this in their mailbox. Everyone got the lucky three numbers.
Where's yours?
Everyone got the lucky three numbers. And Colin's going to walk in there and go, give me my $3,000. And they're going to go, well, yeah, you're going to get $3,000 off of a No Names Please car from this No Names Please car dealership. Your thoughts?
I tend to think if something's too good to be true, it generally is. And I feel like I'm more with Mike here. I do think it'd be interesting to play out. Give it a call. Doesn't seem like there's any obligation. Doesn't seem like you've signed anything. So, you know, see if you're right or see if you're wrong. There's no way you're right. I mean, you know there's no way you're right.
If there was,
you already would have collected the money.
I opened this yesterday. It was 2 days ago. There's a hurricane.
All right. Well, what have you done? Call.
Well, I did call. And then they brought up okay, here's another thing. I don't know if I'm breaking a law here. This was not addressed to me specifically. It was addressed to my address. It was the person that lived here before me or two times before me or current resident, which is why I was able to be involved.
It says current resident, but Colin, they're just trying to get you in the car dealership for the idea of potentially selling you a car.
I think I got $3,000 in the bag. And It says cash.
All right. Well, just, you know, produce it. Produce it and see a picture on Instagram. Like you know when people go to the casino or the horse track and they have, like, the money in their hand? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see the picture of you with the cash.
Band it out.
You're right.
Buy a No Names Please sedan from a No Name Please car dealership and instantly win $3,000. Too good to be true.
I don't know. Steve, you mentioned that this is a big sports weekend. You got a little bit of everything with the regular seasons kicking off and the NHL, NBA's in a couple weeks. But the highlight is on college football, the NFL, and the MLB playoffs, which are really taking a step forward here with two game fives today and tomorrow. I wanted to ask you, being a sports fan yourself, having some New York ties, but also, you know, big college football weekend, and we know you're a fan of that. What's going to take the priority this weekend in terms of what you're most excited to watch?
You know, great point. There's so much going on, you know, this weekend. Even like the NFL, Washington and Baltimore. What are the Jets going to be against the Bills? I'll actually be at the Bengals-Giants game on Sunday night, which will be, you know, really fun. But you can't sleep on college football, and here's why. Last week looked like the most ho-hum week going into college football on the Saturday ever. There was I don't think there were even any ranked teams that played each other last week. And what happened? Arkansas over Tennessee. Vanderbilt over Alabama. Incredible comeback by Miami. Michigan upset against Washington in the national title game rematch. You cannot take your eye off college football. There are good matchups this week with the Red River rivalry. There are Ohio State, Oregon. Like, you have a bunch of matchups that are interesting you know, this week. And then, yeah, I love baseball. So to me, like this, the little fall in the air, the who's going to be the next hero. I guess with the Yankees and the Mets, you know, kind of through their series, I might put baseball, you know, I love baseball, Colin. I might put baseball like down for the weekend and then get ready for it next week. And I think to me, it's probably college and then the NFL.
Uncle Steve, I was telling Colin, I'm gonna need a barf bag or a hyperventilation bag with the Guardians and the Buckeyes going at it. Do you think baseball in specific here? Obviously, they're rooting for the Yankees and the Dodgers. They don't want to see one of these central teams or the Padres beat the Dodgers, correct?
Well, I mean, the networks do everything that's fascinating when people say, like, baseball, like the sport. Like, they got a business to run, right? So, like, certainly the networks are rooting for the best matchups because of what they paid. So, sure. Yeah, I know that gives you that extra, you know, Cleveland little chip on your shoulder.
Oh, you know it.
Isn't that the reality?
You know it. And you know, we got C-Cat here, a Yankee fan.
I do think sports gambling matters, though. You know, yeah. If you're in a state where there's sports gambling, it needs a little extra. And Ohio has it, as you know.
Steve, another theme has been Aaron Judge in his performance thus far in the postseason. Was better yesterday. Got on base, had a double. Was able to get to the bag, but ultimately he has not lived up to any sort of expectation in terms of the all-world hitter he is. I mean, we've asked you this before, but now you've actually got a sense of how he's played so far a couple games in. Can they really figure it out with him playing the way he's playing? It's mediocre at very best.
No.
Yeah.
Colin, Aaron Judge since 2020 has struck out in the playoffs 3 times as much as he's gotten hit.
Yep.
Wow.
He's in his own head, you know, and he goes through those stretches, and then he goes through those other stretches. And when he goes through those bad stretches, I know the Yankees are like squeaking by because they've had a resurgence of their bullpen, a complete renewal of their bullpen. I don't count on the Yankees bullpen, and there's no way that the Yankees can advance to the World Series unless Judge wakes up.
It's just
impossible. There's not enough around him, and I just can't rely on the pitching staff to get them there. And you almost wouldn't want them to, right? Don't you want the best players to shine in October?
Right. Well, every other great player is shining, and Tatis has played great. Otani's had his moments. Zach Wheeler was great when he was involved. Bryce Harper is a fearsome bat at the plate. Even Pete Alonso, yep. Lindor, they're all doing something great. It's really only Judge.
Jose went yard for the guards last night.
It's only Judge who hasn't showed up.
And it's amazing. He's got the most pressure and the most, you know, kind of the most attention on him. But I don't think it's like pressure for him. I use the word pressure. I just think he goes in. That's who he is. He goes in those slumps, and then he has the explosions like he had in September.
Uncle Steve, did you your heart skip a beat last night when it looked like Isbell hit a home run off of Cole? Because I'll tell you what, Garrett Cole's heart skipped a beat as he watched that one go safely into Soto's glove at the warning track.
Yeah, totally. A lot of this that whole series has been right. You know, close games, could have gone either way. I like the chippiness, you know, that's happened. That's like what the playoffs are about. I know everybody hates the Yankees who isn't a Yankee fan and is vehemently, you know, rooting against the Yankees. But if you could get to, and I know you don't want to see this, Mike, and I'm sure you don't want to see this, Colin, but if you could get to a Yankees-Dodgers, you have two teams that, you know, have as much popularity as everybody, and you actually would have less apathy because you have so many people that hate both of those teams too. That to me would be great. I'm not into the apathy. Like the Guardians, they're a great story. A lot of people don't know their story and would probably tune out. If you can get those kinds of stories where you have heroes, you have villains, that would be awesome for baseball.
So you don't want Guardians Padres, Steve?
I'm good with anything. I'm a Yankee fan. So I want the Yankees, but I would rather Yankees. I'd probably the Yankees Mets would be fine. It didn't rate great, you know, the last time around, but I do think there's just a kind of an anti-New York, you know, turnoff at that point. And you remember, you're still competing, and a lot of people don't know the Mets story. I think the most known commodity on the Mets is Grimace.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think they got some magic. And the one thing I'll say about the last time it didn't rate well, it was in the middle of that Yankee improbable run, and New York had a great 90s. I think it's a little different because New York really hasn't been that impactful in sports in 15 years. So I think this is sort of an important step that New York's finally buzzing again on the sports end of things. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Mets Guardians would be interesting and a little Lindor. Action. Yep. I mean, there's enough subplots, in all of these. Does anyone? Tigers are amazing story. I mean, but does anyone besides, I have friends that are Tigers fans. Does anyone want to see the Tigers? I mean, are you watching that?
You could say the same thing with the Guardians. You could say the same thing with the Guardians.
Why?
Yes, you can, but you can't because Mike Rizzo's your co-host.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, you can't.
What are you talking about?
When
you
and I are talking about it. Colin, when we are talking about it in the hallway, then we'll say it.
Yeah. So Steve agrees with me.
Hang on, guys. I got to stop. Who the hell is Grimace? That's why I started laughing.
It was the, the McDonald's thing that they use?
Steve, what the hell is a Grimace?
Rizzo, you got to do some show prep.
I guess so.
Yeah,
what the hell is a Grimace?
Guy.
A plug-in, dude.
It's the theme. The Mets have two themes, OMG and Grimace.
Yeah. Every team's got this.
Grimace turned their entire season around a couple of months ago when he threw out the first pitch or
is that right?
Yes, it was something like that.
Okay,
I think it's McDonald's. Am I wrong on that?
You were not wrong. They're saying the hamburger and a bunch of other mascots.
Yep, exactly.
So a
character of my youth,
a fictional McDonald's mascot turned around the Mets season.
It's Mojo. Okay. Yes, it's Mojo. And the Mets have magic. More so, them and the Padres, I think, are on a class course of the magic as well.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah, they're both the magic teams, but Padres' roster is loaded compared to the Mets, but they both do feel like those magical teams. I'm with you.
The two game fives today and tomorrow, what are your takes on them? Who's going to take them out? Padres tonight, Cleveland games tomorrow.
I know. I just feel like the Dodgers always seem to collapse in the big spot. To me, it's Padres. The other side. Am I allowed to not?
No.
The Guardians.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah,
I mean, they got Scooble. They got Scooble on the bump. You know, it's not looking like it's in our favor. Last time we played Scooble, we didn't score a run. And
he's pitched a lot of innings though this year. More than it might have finally caught up.
I hope
we'll see. I'll root for you, Rizzo.
Thanks, Steve. Now, Steve, don't get mad at me. I can't root for the Yankees, though. You understand, right?
All right, we got plenty of fans.
Got it.
I'm taking the Tigers. I think the Tigers.
Of course you are.
I think Scooble.
Smirk on his face and all, Steve.
I don't think the offense can keep up. That Guardians offense finally got something going yesterday, but other than that, that offense is absolutely stunk. But other than that, that's my take on that. Steve, I appreciate you joining us. Great job as always.
Thanks, Steve.
Always a pleasure, guys.
That was Steve Palatiner, Good Karma Brands president, Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer. That was presented by PNC Bank. Joining us now, just now on Russo and Rizzo. Of course, next Tuesday, if you want to eat, where do you got to go, Mike?
Yeah, folks, we're going to be live at Innovation Campus. The annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate showcased and presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join ESPN West Palm's Theo Dorsey at Brick and Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now. Includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit Spirit of Giving. Network.org/events. That's Spirit of Giving. Network.org/events to purchase your tickets today. Once again, folks, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chef's Tailgate showcased by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group heats up on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets.
We talked to that phony Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com. Coming up next, it's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here in ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. We'll talk to Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com in a moment. In the meantime, I got to tell you what I do every morning. What I do is I head to F45 downtown West Palm Beach. I get my workout on. It's a social setting. It's a group setting. Class style. Multiple coaches there with you. You know, I was somebody who went to the gym on my own. I was somebody who, you know, thought I could do my own thing, the Olympic style lifts. And then I went to F45 and I realized the functional side of things and kind of keeping my body in proper shape, but not necessarily putting it at risk of injury, but more so doing more in terms of preventing injury. That's what they do at F45. It's a class setting. It's a social setting. So you meet a bunch of people. I'm always super involved there. I'm there every morning and it's a whole lot of fun. I love it. It's a great way to get involved. No workout is ever the same. Different classes every day. Go anytime you like, whether it's in the afternoon or the morning. Go try it. Go check out their Instagram, F45 West Palm Beach. They got locations in Wellington and Palm Beach Gardens as well. Mike, welcome in. It's a very special guest. We hear him every Friday with us on Russo and Rizzo. Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com joins us now. Fat Jack, what's going on? How are you doing?
Oh, doing good, good. I've left London for a couple of days. I'm in Mallorca, Spain. I'll be back in London tomorrow. I shouldn't leave Mallorca. I'm 7-0 this week. We had Kansas City and under on Monday, had Florida International on Tuesday, had San Francisco last night, and 4-0 in props last night in the game between San Francisco and Seattle. So I might should stay in Mallorca because things are going really well since I've been here. But if the signal's bad, that is why. I'll be back in London this weekend for the game. Going on Sunday morning, and then back in the States on Thursday, and not a moment too soon. We're going to get back out. A big, big weekend of college and the NFL, though.
How about that? You're in Mallorca. Are you in the city of Palma, or are you outside the city?
I am. No, I'm in Palma right now. Actually, in Palma, which doesn't have great cell reception, but is very, very pretty.
I've been to Palma myself. I thought it was overrated. But it's a beautiful island once you get to a sense for the actual coastline. But, Mike, you got something for Fat Jack.
Yeah, a couple of things. So I know of Mallorca boys because they actually drew Real Madrid. And I'm talking La Liga soccer here, Mbappe, Vinicius, and company. They drew them early on in the year. So, Fat Jack, that's awesome that you're there. I heard it's beautiful. And then, partner, I got to plug something for you. So your YouTube is at Fat Jack Sports. And I found a video of you turning $1,000 into $20,000 on American Casino. I didn't know you were an avid blackjack player.
I mean, I'm a good gambler. And so not everybody – it's hard to win blackjack consistently full-time. But, yeah, I mean, I'll have good streaks. I play a lot of high-stakes poker, and then sports are pretty much my – bread and butter on both of those. But, yeah, I've played in a bunch of blackjack stuff. I've made a bunch of money over the years in blackjack. I'm bragging about things that require luck. And so, yeah, that was one of those deals. They followed me around for the sports betting. And they said, here, come in here, play some blackjack. And so I clipped him for about $20,000 and went on to the next thing.
Just nonchalantly turned $1,000 into $20,000. Guys, as a person who plays very low stakes blackjack when I go to Las Vegas, that is some impressive stuff, Fat Jack. So you're a multi-athlete in gambling. How about that? Multi-athlete, Fat Jack. My guy.
I started racing people in the parking lot on foot in my 20s. It was called the Fat Jack Futurity Dash for Cash. They would get a $1,000 gift certificate to this restaurant I worked at, and I get 1 inch per pound head start that I outweigh you by a maximum of 3 feet. I lost one time in 4 years and basically put myself through college that way. So, yeah, listen, I've lived a life, fellas. I'm 54 right now. So there have been lots of versions of the Fat Jack, it's starting in racing. And then, of course, sports betting has been very, very good to me as well.
Well, Fat Jack, we got a couple games we took in our slate, especially on the college side of things. You know how we like to get pretty strange with our picks. I want to run a few by you and see what you think.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So, obviously, we got to take a MAC game. By the way, Fat Jack, how was that $1,000 that you won on Toledo last week, baby? How'd that go?
It was 500. I'm not doubling every time, so I'm rolling it, and then I win 500, lose 500. But it doesn't matter. You guys keep it going. We'll add it up at the end. You get to dinner either way with week one. That's all that mattered was week one. So if you don't keep it going, that's fine too.
I want the record to know, though, Fat Jack, we're 4-2 in the MAC, all right? We are great handicappers in the MAC. And
we lost two?
Yeah, we lost two.
Okay.
Ooh, I got a game for you this week, Fat Jack. Eastern Michigan plus 2.5 at home against Miami of Ohio. Miami, Ohio stinks. And Eastern Michigan will cover that plus 2.5 at home. So that's your MAC bet that you're going to take to the bank.
What's funny is you're not there's a sharp player on that that exact side of that exact game that I'm good friends with. He's a $35,000 to $40,000 a game player. He actually also likes Eastern Michigan. That's the first MAC play I've heard come out of his mouth in a while. But I think you might be onto something.
Absolutely.
Maybe he spoke with us. Maybe he's been listening to the program and he got a whiff of what we're going with.
And then Fat Jack, I'll go down the line. I'll go down the line here for you, partner. LSU plus 3.5. We got Vanderbilt plus 12.5, Army minus 27.5. I know that's a big spread, partner, but UAB, bad team. San Jose State, it's an even game, so we're just picking a winner. They got one of the best receivers in the country in Nick Nash. They're playing Colorado State. We went with San Jose State. And then our only NFL pick, because, partner, you're going to have to tell us who the moneymakers are. I know you're doing well in the NFL. But we're going with Tampa Bay minus 3.5. They're on the road against a rookie quarterback, Spencer Rattler.
So let's start with the SEC side of things. We took Vanderbilt and LSU this weekend. What do you think about those two?
Yeah, I'll make this easy for you. I don't have a huge opinion on anything except Ole Miss LSU. I think you're on the wrong side of that. I mean, Ole Miss they played like defenses that are like what LSU's defense is below average nationally. And against this type of defense this year, Ole Miss has averaged about 37 points a game. They're better on both sides of the ball. Now, the only thing that gives you some hesitation there is LSU at home as an underdog is next level good. I mean, it's been a money-making, and this has nothing to do with the night game, just LSU at home as a dog. They're 103, 38-2 against the spread. So they cover, when you give them points in Death Valley, they almost always cover. That's a very high percentage. But if you break this game down, Ole Miss is better offensively, and LSU's defense is overrated at this point. They haven't played anybody really with this type of offensive firepower. I like Ole Miss on the road there. The two other I'd give you that we didn't talk about, just to kind of get, because the other games, I'm betting on the games. I'm not going down and handicapping 57 games. I figure out where I think the money's able to be made, and that's where I'm spending the majority of my time. I gave everybody, including my clients, over the win total for BYU preseason. They were 4.5. We've already going to cash that ticket. This is a bad matchup for them. I think Arizona goes in there, keeps that game close. Look for the total to go under as well in that one. And this Oklahoma-Texas game, since 1988, there have been double-digit underdogs 13 times that come into this game. So periodically, you'll get a double-digit dog. 10 of those have covered the number, and 5 have won straight up. So generally speaking, this is one of those games that you can kind of throw off the record book. When you look at what Texas has done, they do have two quarterbacks. They are much better on both sides of the ball. Oklahoma has no quarterbacks. They have two, but really none. That old adage applies there. But their defense is more than capable. Quinn Ewers is going back to start. He might have a little bit of rust. Expect that game to be closer than the general public believes based on what we've seen just over historically. These two teams, all the players know each other. They're all recruited from the same schools. They played in all-star games together. The majority are from the state of Texas. And you normally get a much closer matchup, especially when there's double digits involved. Also under in that game, Oklahoma has very little firepower offensively. 5 top receivers for the year are all out. So this is not a team that's going to be able to put up a lot of numbers, but I think their defense keeps them around, so let's go under the 50 there. So those are the college games I would probably lead people to. The other kind of asterisk game that I really think the wrong team's favorite here, but we're going to find out, and I'm in the minority of some really pretty sharp players here. I think Ohio State has been a benefit factor of what the dumpster fire that's happened in the SEC with Alabama last week. I don't think they're the number 2 or 3 team in the country. This is the only time in the last 32 starts that Oregon has not been a favorite at home. They're getting points based on what Ohio State's done against inferior competition. I think it's a tough place to play out there. I think they're exposed a little bit, especially if Oregon has some offensive success, and I do think they will. The quarterback that was the guy going from Central Florida, from Oklahoma, Dylan Gabriel, he's now up there. I think they'll have some offensive success. I'm not sure Ohio State's ready to keep up in that environment. So I lean toward Oregon plus the points there as well.
But Fat Jack, obviously talking to the household Buckeye guy here, I mean, Oregon hasn't looked, they really haven't blown the doors off of anybody either. They almost lost at home to Boise.
You know, and that's why they are the asterisk game I want to watch as much as bet on. Ohio State's 2-4 straight up their last six against top 10 opponents.
Yep.
We're not positive whether this Ohio State team is basically Penn State or are they Georgia and Alabama. I mean, they're one of the teams that beat up, bully the bad teams, look really good, kind of like Franklin does at Penn State, beat up on a bunch of bad teams. They get in against good teams, really good teams, and they struggle more times than not. So it is definitely a litmus test game for them. If they win this, they're going to be in the playoff most likely and really have an inside shot. We might want to look for national championship money at that point if they win this game. I suspect they're more like the Ohio State team that's 2-4 straight up against top 10 teams. I think they probably struggle a little bit. If it was at Ohio State, I'd like them. I think this game very evenly matched, and the home field makes a difference up there.
Fat Jack of FatJackSports.com. Joining us now, one thing I'll say too is Oregon's got a better quarterback and a more proven quarterback. That's probably something that plays into it. But I also think, to Mike's point, Oregon showed more kinks in the armor than Ohio State has. But that remains to be seen. Let me walk you through my Army pick. I don't know if you have a thought on it, but Army's playing UAB at home. Army, of course, coming off a week where they won 49-7 over Tulsa. UAB coming off a week where they lost 71-20 over Tulane. Army and Navy have had one before this point, one common opponent, and Army beat that opponent, Temple, by more than Navy did. Navy has beaten UAB already by 24 points. I think Army's going to want to beat them by more than Navy did because Army gets into stuff like that. And I also think Army, of course, scoring 49, 42, 37 their last 3 weeks, covering a 27-point spread, I think there's a theme there. And I think the armed forces, the service academies are motivated on little things like that. I don't know. What's your take on this?
Army, I mean, I had Army last week. They were an easy win. Tulsa's a dumpster fire. I mean, Kevin Wilson's trying. They have no NIL money, and they're horrible defensively and very bad offensively as well. Army's one of three teams in the country that's 5-0 against the spread. They're not going to cover every week. The value's gone with them, but I'm certainly not going to line up and get in the way of the option freight train to play UAB plus a bunch of points and have to sweat out a 24, 28-point win by Army. They're definitely the better team. They're definitely going to own them. I don't know if they're going to cover or not. I do know this. Most players at Army don't give a crap about lines. They're up at 3 o'clock in the morning running and doing push-ups.
No, but they
they're
care.
Not looking to cover numbers. So.
Fat Jack, they care about beating a team harder than Navy did. That's what they care about. It's not about the line. It's about beating them harder than Navy did. I think that's the theme.
Well, we're going to listen. I can't argue with it because I don't. UAB's horrible, and Army's really good, and they've covered every game this year. So I'm definitely not on the opposite side. I think there's some easier spots, but I mean, I see where you're going with it. Tampa Bay, that's a huge, huge public play this week. Mm. It's really hard to play Spencer Rattler in there, even with Carr. They had come back down to reality after the start, and they're coming off. They have the most rest you could possibly have without a bye, nine days. And New Orleans has the least amount of rest that you can possibly have without a bye. So you're getting a team that is super rested, super ready to go, and a backup rookie quarterback that is on no rest.
Yeah, I mean, everything. That's a strange line, right? That's a strange line. 3.5 only?
Which is more strange, that one or Detroit and Dallas? Those are the two. I'm just saying, I would be real careful. If you're the general public out there and you're just like looking at X's and O's and what happens on the field, ask yourself, why is it only 3 there? Why is Detroit only 3 to Dallas? The NFL is made for underdogs just like this. People go broke. I can't explain it. I'm the only handicapper in the world that will tell you there are some of these numbers that I steer clear of. But I'll tell you this much. It's either a Dallas or don't play it. Why is that number 3? Dallas, everybody hurts, can't stop the run. Detroit's coming off rest. They literally, Jared Goff was like 18 for a million yards last time. I mean, they've been rolling. Dallas looked better against Pittsburgh. That number should be 5 or 5.5, which, by the way, gets you in that zone of getting beat more times than not. 5.5-point dogs in the NFL this year. They're 19-5-1 against the spread. That's 78% cover rate for underdogs of 5.5 points or more. And, oh, by the way, 13 wins. 13 of 26 of those games have been won by the team that's getting 5.5 points or more. So be careful playing the best team. I can't explain why Tampa's not more offensively. They are kicking along. They have all the rest. And I do think they're the better team here. I like Spencer Rattler, but he's going to turn the ball over almost 100%. He's used to dropping back and throwing the ball, and as much in the NFL, to the wrong team. He looked good in the preseason. This is not the preseason. That Dallas one is a total head-scratcher. I'd just be careful before I loaded up on what I thought was the better team coming off rest against the Cowboy team that hadn't won a game at home yet.
What about that Commander game? Of course, you mentioned the 5.5, 6.5. You got a couple teams there. You got Atlanta -6, and you got the Commanders, of course, getting a lot of points at the Ravens red hot. I mean, are those teams that you'd like to go on the other side of things and take the big underdog there?
No, on the Atlanta game, I would, for what we've talked about. Carolina's had a ton of variance this year. They've looked really good at times in spots like this, and then they've looked like a dumpster fire that couldn't beat anybody. And so you get that variance, you're probably going to get a better game at home in that spot. Atlanta's been scoring a bunch of points, playing well. Six of the last eight in this series have gone under the total. I think this will be a lower score game. That always brings in your underdog, especially when you're getting over 5.5 points. So I do like Carolina there to be that game, that one that continues that. I think Baltimore rolls Washington. I understand what Washington is. I think that Baltimore's defensive swarming scheme, where they get a lot of bodies around the ball, are going to give some problems to this Washington team, that you're getting no value playing Washington at all. Offensively, they've been incredible. The rookie quarterback's been unbelievably good. Again, it's about regressing. Where are we going to get these guys that are going to either throw in a clunker or come back down to where they should be? Washington is due for that on the road at Baltimore. There's a reason why this number is up 6, 6.5. That's the number that's a head-scratcher to a lot of people who don't know, because they're like, gosh, Washington's looked great. How is it that they're getting that many points? Well, they're getting points. Some of it's matchup. Some of it the amount of weapons that Baltimore has. I think that Henry will have success. Lamar Jackson will run the ball effectively. I think they win that one by more than a touchdown. The other one that I think, you got to look favorite, because I just can't see a way that the offense for New England is any good at all. Drake May, this is a play on next week. They go to London next week, and it was either let him sit again. Houston's defense is going to smoke him. I mean, they are really, really complex up front. And Drake May is getting no time. Their offensive line is horrible. So if they win, it's only because Houston has turned the ball. I mean, if they're even in the game, it's because Houston has turned the ball over, because they're going to have no success, or should have no success, based on the weak offensive line and the secondary scheme that Houston's going to bring to a rookie quarterback who looks lost anyway. But this start is kind of a sacrifice for him. They go play Jacksonville in London this next weekend, and it's about getting him some reps. I truly believe they understand that no matter who they start at quarterback against, Houston is going to struggle in a big-time way. They just needed to get some reps for the rookie, because they think long-term he might be the answer. So I'd go ahead and lay the points and play Houston in that other kind of big line.
Great job as always, Fat Check. I appreciate you joining us. Enjoy Mallorca. We'll talk next week.
Bye, Fat Check.
Yeah, guys, by the way, $32. I've never offered this before. It's the first time literally in 27 years. $32, you get two NFL, two college, two player props. By the way, player props 4-0 yesterday with the San Fran game. And two Major League Baseball playoffs for $32. FatJackSports.com. It will not be here the rest of the year. Get it today, $32 at FatJackSports.com.
There's your deal, Fat Jack. All right, we'll talk next week, all right?
Go get him, guys. See you soon.
All right, that's Fat Jack at FatJackSports.com. You heard that deal they got. Go check it out, FatJackSports.com. He's great as always. In Mallorca, it is 11:47 there. Look at that. Working around the clock for Fat Jack.
Yeah, you don't get to Mallorca by taking your guys' picks. You take it by taking his picks. That's how you get to Mallorca, fellas.
You know, if you can't go to Mallorca, you know what the next best thing is?
Where?
The Boca Bowl.
Everyone
great
tells
chefs
me that.
Tailgate. Yeah.
Correct.
What about that?
Guys, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase, presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group, heats up on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8. So this upcoming Tuesday, folks, 6 to 8. Join Theo Dorsey at Brick and Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now. Includes all samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgiving.org. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org. Once again, folks, visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. That's spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. To purchase your tickets today.
That was Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. Of course, on the flip side of things, we'll give our picks for the weekend. Close out the show. Close out the weekend. You're listening to Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
A Friday edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. I love when sports kick off the weekend, and it's going to be a packed weekend of sports, sitting on the couch watching games nonstop. But I also like watching things live, and if you want a chance to watch NASCAR, Mike can tell you all about it.
Vroom, vroom, guys. Race fans, get ready for the ultimate NASCAR weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Craftsman Truck Series playoffs and NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs doubleheader are races you won't want to miss. We have tickets to give away on Theoretically Speaking. We're going to be giving away tickets on Theo Show, folks. Once again, 2 to 4. 2 to 4. Be listening to Theoretically Speaking for your chance for the ultimate NASCAR weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. Once again, the Craftsman Truck Series playoffs and NASCAR Xfinity Series. Visit online for tickets. Go to homesteadmiamispeedway.com. That's homesteadmiamispeedway.com or follow ESPN West Palm on socials and be tracking, Theoretically Speaking. They got tickets for you as well.
That was Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass helping us out as always. CK, what'd you guys take this week for your punchline picks?
Glad you asked.
Yeah, as he gets some music ready. We haven't heard his picks in 2 weeks on air, so looking forward to hearing them.
Well, we're actually really smart individuals, so our picks are going to win. As a matter of fact, I picked
this
Rice.
Hang on, time out. I gave you guys your flowers. I said, congratulate. You know, you guys have brought it back. You really have turned things around, and now he's going all cocky. Now he's going all gung-ho. All right, let's hear the losers.
Rice +4 versus UTSA.
Oh, so now you're going to the outside group of five. You know,
I've got numbers. But you know what? I got the secrets. I'm not going to tell you my secrets, but I got my secrets.
Rice, UTSA, what's the spread?
Rice +4 at home. We're going to take the Cowboys. We know we didn't hear Fat Jack make his point before we made the pick, but it makes me feel good about it. Cowboys at home +3. We're taking the over in the Bills-Jets game, over 40.5. And then...
Whoa, wait a second. Now we can make over picks?
I thought these were straight games.
Nope.
It's punchline picks, not punchline spreads.
Dude, you got to pick
like
games.
When did like we? How do you
Time
not
out.
Clear this with us?
Time out. Yeah.
How do you not clear this with us?
I made the game, so I make the rules.
No. This is stupid. Yeah. How do you not clear
no,
this with
dude,
us?
No, dude. No,
you guys are
you
not
take
confident.
A game and
you
a
didn't
spread.
Like, you didn't like any of your...
Patriots +6.5. Arkansas Pine Bluff for a pair of you. Taking Pine Bluff +5.5. Ravens -6.5.
All right, so here's the problem. Number one, you need to change that pick. Number two, you do. I think that you are trying to get cute with your Arkansas Pine Bluff Rice University. You don't have what we have. You don't have the theme. You don't know how to catch it. We know how to find the theme. That is what wins
Colin,
those games.
We're running out of show here. You can't take that. You got to take a game.
I'll ask the boss. How about that? I'll ask Brian.
That's fine.
Hey, whatever he says goes.
Okay, fair enough. But I purchased. Listen, just because you didn't clear it, you didn't even ask us.
Yeah.
You didn't even give us a decency to go, hey, dude.
You're not my boss.
I understand that, but we're competitors. Like, you know, we're competing against each other.
Just because you can't think outside of the box like I can does not mean that we are culpable. Like,
you're playing kickball and you just picked up the ball and ran with it. Hey, I don't have to declare with you. You're not my boss.
I think if Fat Jack was on the phone, I think he would agree with me that an over-under is the second
you
most popular pick.
He just
in punchline picks.
He just tried to slide that in there without us noticing.
So we wouldn't notice. This is bad omen. This is bad mojo.
Yeah.
This is bad. You know this too. Yeah. You have to think about. You know what? You want to find theme. I found theme.
Hey,
you guys try to get cute, and it's gonna burn you.
That's not true. We're gonna win all of our picks, and you'll be left
they
in
tried,
the dust.
Hey, you want to know what we used to call that in the old neighborhood? They tried to pull a fast one.
That is.
They
going
tried to pull
burn
a fast
you.
One.
You guys are done. Wow. Nope. You know what? That's bad jinx. Bad karma. Good karma brands. We rely on the good stuff. You guys are going off script. Taking over, that was Christian Catt, of course, on our punchline picks. That was Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, of course, a Friday edition of Russo and Rizzo. Stay safe. If anything happened during the hurricane, we offer our condolences. But it was a fun one. We send you off into a packed sports weekend. Stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay focused. We'll see you Monday.